Hello, and welcome to another episode of Interview with a Schizophrenic. I'm your host, Duncan Samrasinghe, and today I have the great pleasure of welcoming back Georgie. Georgie was in an episode a couple of months ago. She's Generation X from Australia. And today we're going to talk about the symptoms that she goes through, things like hallucinations. I think it's good to give normal folk an understanding about what people with schizophrenia go through on a daily basis, because it is an invisible disability. People can look quite normal and you don't know what is going on in the mind. So I think we're just going to talk about it. So Georgie, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm really well, thanks.
How's the weather in Australia? Is it what is it? It must be
It's
autumn, is it?
spring. Yeah, sorry,
Spring.
autumn,
Yeah.
yeah.
Autumn, yeah.
Well, yeah, we just left summer behind.
Yeah. That's so strange because it's like it's spring in Scotland, it's spring, I guess. But it's probably about similar weather, maybe. I don't know. Autumn, spring's kind of similar, aren't they?
It's just starting to get cooler. Like summer's pretty harsh in Australia, and then the winter's not so harsh. So it's okay.
Okay, Georgie, let's talk about schizophrenia. So I
Okay.
will so you can start how you want. You can talk about what you want to talk about, and so why don't you just talk about what you want to talk about?
Okay. I guess from where I sit right now, like I'm a year into treatment of schizophrenia. My biggest problem was that I had no understanding of what an hallucination was. I thought hallucinations were all the result of taking LSD. And having, trippy visuals. That's what I thought a hallucination was. I'd never understood that it can also be a mental illness. Like, I had no awareness of that. So when I first started hearing voices, I thought I was in communication with something from another dimension and that I was having a spiritual awakening. And that didn't come from nowhere. I had been meditating what I thought I was meditating, my chakras opened. And I believed that I was incredibly connected to the universe and all energies. I felt enormous. So I had sort of been playing around with crystal pendulums and automatic writing, and it progressed into hearing voices. So I thought, I guess you could say, I thought my hallucinations were actually a spiritual awakening.
So were your hallucinations pleasant then?
They were entertaining, they were hilarious. They gave me purpose. So my hallucinations would only happen if I was alone. So in my home, like they didn't happen outside of my home. And I guess from where I sit now, they gave me a spiritual person purpose, and I have to like what really confuses me is that I wasn't spiritual before. I have mentioned before that I had a near-death experience. So I thought they were all tied together. And I mental illness did not cross my mind. I didn't speak to anybody about what I was experiencing. So that, I guess, left me in psychosis for about 8 years.
Can you just explain how what the hallucinations feel like? I mean, is it, you know, I just want people to understand what they are, what they feel like. You're just sitting there in your living room, you're by yourself. Now, what does it feel like when you're hearing that voice?
Well, my voices actually spoke directly through my body. Like, it felt like to me that I was sort of giving them permission to control my body. Mm. My voices told me it was a technology that was making it possible for us to communicate. Mm. So I just accepted that I was communicating with these different entities and they were using a technology. Mm. So for the first couple of years, it was, I guess, like, they kept me company. Mm. Like, I had just gone through a divorce and a friend of mine had committed suicide and my dad was diagnosed with cancer.
Mm.
So I was going through a lot of stress.
Yeah.
So I started using drugs after my father died. I started using meth. Mm. And I was put into a rehab. And I believed I was on a spiritual journey. So I never spoke to anybody about what I was going through.
Were the voices consistent? Did they change who they were? Did they change what they say? Did that happen?
Like in total, I had 7 different voices.
Mm.
But 2 left. And 2 remained at the end. I believed what my voices were telling me. They were telling me that I was in reincarnation. Mm. And that I was ordained for this life of drug addiction and mental health.
Mm.
Issues, which is basically what my life has been. Mm. So I guess I was battling 2 things here. I was battling drug addiction and hearing voices and being in psychosis.
Lost Georgie. Hello. Yeah, so we lost you there. Yeah. You're just saying you're battling drug addiction and voices.
Yeah, and psychosis.
Yeah.
At the same time. And I didn't understand that. And in drug recovery, at least in Australia, and I understand that it's pretty much the same around the world, that most rehabs adopt a 12-step program.
Mm.
And in that 12-step program, they really encourage spiritual awakenings. So I thought that I was on the right track.
Yeah.
I used drugs intermittently, but I was put into rehab again at the beginning of COVID.
Mm.
I spent the entire COVID in rehab. And I suppose what happened when I put down drugs and alcohol, my voices became worse.
Okay. Okay. What do you mean by worse?
I let them, basically I was in rehab thinking that I had this important research program to go on with in regards, to world events, like I had my voices wanted me to research media reporting. I was in what's called residential care. I was living in a sober living house. And my sister said that put me in an apartment in the city on the 14th floor, and that was probably the worst thing that I could have done. So I left this residential living supported accommodation environment and just put myself into isolation in an apartment that was pretty much in the sky. And I let my voices just completely take control of my life. And they wanted me to be in isolation.
When did you feel that this was, that you needed to get help for this, for the voices, not the drugs, the voices?
It probably took about a year. And I guess I showed my sister how insane I was. And
was your flat like a mess and all that sort of thing?
I didn't even unpack my boxes from when I moved in there. In the end, like, all my hair was matted together. And I thought that was because I had an electrical current running through my body. So I showed my sister how insane I was. I was believing that aliens were in control of the United States government. And just, you know, the classic sort of schizophrenic delusions. I believed, like, I was a spiritual being. I believed I was multidimensional, whatever that might mean.
You know, when I had my delusions, I they were always quite frightening, but you seem to be much more kind of accepting and just going with the flow. Would that be correct? You were just sort
it
of
was
like...
completely it was it is correct. Like, I didn't have, like, whilst I was consumed by my voices, that I felt my voices had my best interest in mind. And they were entertaining. They weren't getting me to harm myself. They didn't want me to harm others.
We'll come back, hopefully.
I guess I'm lucky that way. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't call them negative. My sister rescued me. She got a crisis assessment team to come over and assess me. And I was put into a psych ward and medicated. And that was incredibly difficult.
So, Georgia, we just lost you a couple of times.
Did we?
Yeah. You were saying your sister come and rescued you and contacted, was it the support team?
Yeah, like a crisis assessment team.
Yeah.
And I was put into a psych ward and I was medicated.
How did you feel about them taking medication when you were going with this experience? You were all in. You were kind of you actually trusted it, which is something which I rejected it, but you trusted it, which is quite amazing, really.
When I first landed in hospital, I wouldn't admit that I was hearing voices because I still felt like I was in communication with something in a different dimension. And I still felt it was real. So it took a while for me to admit that I was hearing voices, and that's when I was diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Well, yeah. What was I going to say? I can't remember. Yeah, let's carry on. You were diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Yeah, and I guess I've been in mental health recovery for a year now. Like, that's all I do. And I'm only just coming to terms with the fact that everything was psychosis and hallucination.
You know, let me chime in something controversial. what you're talking spiritually does actually kind of make sense as well. And I'm not saying that older hallucinations were entities, were exactly as you thought. But what I'm saying is that there are a lot of people who believe in spirituality, believe in spirit guides. So it may be the case that they were kind of warped. Do you know what I mean? Like their communications were warped. Because I think spirit guides, their communication's very, very soft in loudness. So maybe I'm not saying, but I'm just saying, I guess what I'm saying is that when you go into recovery, you're told that everything's chemical, everything is just a part of a malfunctioning brain. Whereas, it is, but there's a little bit, it's not the full explanation. It's not the complete explanation.
I guess, at the moment, I'm feeling really blessed because my voices are leaving me and I'm experiencing long periods of silence. Mm. So, for me, who I flip-flop between communication with entities and then a medical diagnosis, on a daily basis, I change my mind. But I can say, today that they're leaving me, which is, I feel really blessed that I'm actually in that situation where because I was trying to prepare myself for a lifetime of hearing voices.
Hmm.
So I feel really, I feel like I've achieved something by having silence.
What are the advantages of not having voices for you?
I guess, I feel so abnormal being a voice hearer. And all I want is normality. I found it really difficult to believe that I was going to be able to actually have a relationship with someone if I'm a voice hearer, unless I'm having a relationship with another voice hearer, which is a recipe for disaster. I guess I'm a lot more optimistic about actually being able to maintain a normal life where I've got some grip on my mental health.
Yeah. When I asked you to become a guest, what struck me about you was that you're very lucid. You had a depth to you. You just struck me as someone who had a good handle on the situation and you were fighting for that lucidity. And that was what impressed me. And I think that comes across in the way you talk as well. You're quite sort of thoughtful and deep. But and what is interesting about your personality is you do have that. You were able to trust this incredible experience, which is, I guess, I don't know how unusual that is, but it's a rare experience anyway. So, yeah,
It is really rare. And I suppose I'm really interested in other people's psychosis. And I also attend weekly. I attend a hearing voices support group, which has been really helpful to sort of normalize my this illness. I think without that support group, I would feel incredibly abnormal. And defective. I really went through a good 6 months of feeling very defective, and having no place in this world. So I've been really sort of working hard to gain some normal, some sort of normal.
I think that's really important. What I think is important is the little things eating well, doing simple cookery, getting rest time, stimulating your brain. Do you know what I mean? Just the things that we take for granted what so many folk just don't do, you know?
Yeah, like I can't stress how important diet is. I had a terrible diet when I was in isolation, and it's no, like, now I can see how I made myself so much worse by eating junk food, which was all I was capable of doing. But your diet is so important, and exercise, like daily exercise, is, it, for me, it's made my mind a lot stronger.
Yeah, I think these experiences, you know, once we've come through the other side and we're back to sort of getting our life back on track, I think the mind is affected by that trauma of what we've gone through. But I think it is, maybe it's expanded in a way, and like you say, it's probably strengthened, you know, because it's been an experience which is unusual, and you've gone through that now, you know?
Yeah, I was created my own trauma, without a doubt. Like, I was in shock when I was brought back to reality, to a shared reality, I should say. Like, I was completely devastated by a shared reality.
What do you mean by shared reality?
Like, I was in a reality, like, for years I was in my own reality, and no one else was sharing it. Like, no one else could hear it, no one else could see it. But being thrown into a hospital with, say, 30 other people who are all eating at the same time, who are all watching the same television, like, that sort of shared reality, that was incredibly devastating for me, but a necessary process to go through.
Do you think, you know, what do you think the point of all this is? Do you see some sort of meaning that you can extract from this? Because you've been through quite a lot in your life.
I actually don't. Like, I wanted to hold on to the notion that I was in communication with something, and I still believe that I was. It's a hard pill to swallow that it was actually mental illness. I want to find meaning in it, but I don't see any in it. Like, I'm actually really sort of deeply embarrassed by my hallucinations and my psychosis. Like, really embarrassed. Like, I've been in therapy for 8 months, and I'm only just starting to talk about my relationship with my voices.
But you know, Georgie, the world we live in is very material. We don't, anything metaphysical or unworldly is seen as sort of like a fancy, like a fantasy or something. But I go through it every day. I hallucinate every day, you know. So I know it's real, and I know what it's like. So there's no reason to feel embarrassed, because it's a part of the human experience. Some of us go through it, you know. For some reason, 1% of the population go through psychosis, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep. I do. I do accept that, obviously, that some people experience psychosis. I don't expect to find answers or meanings. Like, I have no interest in going down the path of trying to understand chakras and kundalini. thankfully, like, I don't, like, feel like that's my next step. Like, I don't know what my next step is. But I don't want it to be spiritual. I want to stay right away from that stuff.
So do you think that I think I read that you want to do something, you have a lot of time in your hands. So is that something that's on your mind? You want to find something to occupy yourself with in terms of,
like, I'm not ready to work. Like, I know that, but, I do have a lot of time on my hands and I don't know what to do with it. I still feel like I've got a lot more to do, like a lot of more recovery to do. I feel far too fragile to work.
You will be surprised at how strong you don't think, how much stronger you are than you think. That's something that I learned.
Yeah.
You know, that when you're put in that position, suddenly you feel, well, I can actually do this. You know, it's not so bad. And you don't, when you're just kind of like inactive, you think, oh, I can't do anything because you don't need to do anything. But when you're in that position, do you know what I mean? And you find you can do it.
Yeah.
You find you actually can do it.
Yeah. I hope so. Like, that's where I'm at the moment, and I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not, I feel like I've come a long way with my notion of shame. I'm doing a lot of exercise. I also look after my elderly mother. Like,
That's nice, yeah.
So she does. So she doesn't have to get a support worker or go into a nursing home. So I do that every day. Like, I live a couple of blocks away from my mum.
Yeah, I think that's a good that's a good thing to focus on, you know, because I think that's one of the most important jobs in life, is looking after our parents, you know, end of life. So
yeah,
I think. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it was brilliant that you shared your story, Georgie. You know, I know it's not easy talking about this, you know, because it's, for one thing, hallucinations are very personal because it's in our mind and it affects us emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And, you know, it's not easy to talk about. It took me quite a long time for me to admit my hallucinations when I was younger. And Georgie has said the similar thing. You know, it's not easy to talk about. So, you know, I'm thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So, Georgie, I think we can close it here.
Okay.
It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you again. You're welcome back.
Likewise.
You're welcome. Maybe shall we give it a few months? If you want to come back and give us an update, that's absolutely fine.
Sure.
And, you know, we can talk more. So thank you very much. And there'll be another episode coming soon. Thank you, Georgie.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.